This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Right now, when you purchase the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, you get a free UVC portable light. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in Grace Deal. Enjoy the podcast.
.superbeatsradio.com to find out more about Superbeats. Also, did I mention they taste really good, too? That's
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, New England, and happy, happy Friday. I'm so excited to be with you guys today. I'm especially excited because I have two wonderful VIPs, and we're going to have such a fun day. I cannot wait. We have a lot of news to get to. Some Hunter Biden news. We have some great guests. A new guest who I've yet to have on the show, Bridget Fetisi, and she's going to come on and talk about the vaccine passports. So we're going to get all different stories. And also, there's a lot of crazy stories coming out of Boston about, you know, kind of bringing in critical race theory to the medical world, which in my mind, I go, that sounds like a bad idea. But what do I know? I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV. Now, let's get the obviously the big news, sad news of the day is that the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, has passed away at the age of 99. I was just talking about my VIPs, born in 1921, passed away in 2021. And His Royal Highness passed away peacefully this morning at Windsor Castle. Really incredible life. So I was reading The Spectator, which is one of my favorite publications. I am biased because I write for them, but I love all their stuff. And they do a lot of British pieces, and they talk a lot about the monarchy and things like that. And one of their, I think it was Dominic Green. Actually, no, this is by Philip Eade. He wrote about Prince Philip today. And I want to read you guys this because this is a historical day. This is a day that will go down in history. I mean, this guy was a huge deal. And I thought he described it really well. He said, Prince Philip played a pivotal yet often underestimated role in ensuring the survival of the modern British monarchy. Anyone who watched The Crown, especially season one, knows that Prince Philip is a stubborn guy and he was a very masculine figure. And I think that his role as playing second fiddle to the Queen, especially at the beginning, was very hard for him. His self-confidence and irreverence served as an invaluable foil for the young Queen Elizabeth, enabling her to overcome her natural shyness and giving her the confidence and stability to reign so calmly and irreproachably for such a long time. Now, again, I know the Queen was, you know, based off history, but they definitely took liberties. But that was part of, the Crown. That was a big part of the show, was that she would get nervous about things and come back behind the scenes and he would say, you know, screw them. What do we care? We don't need them. And sometimes you need that person in your life. Sometimes you need a Prince Philip who says, don't worry about it, okay? We're not worried about them. We're worried about us. As Britain's longest-serving consort, he outlasted 14 prime ministers and carried out a staggering 22,000 solo public engagements, joking shortly before his retirement from royal duties in 2017 that he was probably the world's most experienced plaque unveiler. So he had a good sense of humor. But as the Queen's strength and stay, as she described him, for seven decades, he provided the essential support on which her singularly successful reign depended. So, you know, he lived a great life, 99 years. I mean, that's most of us hope we live 99 years. But we'll be following that as the days go on. It's going to be a really big deal, especially in England. But a big deal all around the world. Now, I want to shift gears here a little bit to something I saw. I tell you guys this all the time. Whenever I go through the news stories of the day, I think to myself, what sticks out to me the most? What gets my blood pressure so high that I have to reach for a super beat? And today, without a doubt, and it's hard on Fridays because I feel good on Fridays. I don't want to get angry. But I saw a video of Hunter Biden on with Jimmy Kimmel, okay? And you know, you don't think anyone can get worse than Hunter Biden. And then you sit him down next to Jimmy Kimmel and you go, you know, he might not be that bad after all. I almost lost my mind. So Hunter has this book out. I think it's called Beautiful Things. It's a memoir. And he's going around and he's doing all of these interviews. And he did a bunch of them with CBS where we got the famous clip of him saying, you know, the laptop might exist. It could exist. I don't know. But now he's doing these late night shows, which for me feels particularly insulting because it's like he's Bradley Cooper promoting, you know, the next Hangover movie or something. He's on these schmoozy shows in a suit or whatever he's wearing, and he's laughing with Jimmy Kimmel. And it just feels like they're rubbing our noses in it. We knew he was going to get away with it.
I probably smoke more Parmesan cheese than anyone.
I believe him, actually. I think that might be the one time I've heard a Biden say something that I fully believe. You probably have smoked more Parmesan cheese than anyone I know. But let's play. I want to play the clip that he has. We have a couple here, but the one that drove me the craziest has to be when they were talking about Donald Trump Jr. Cut 18.
Does it make you crazy when you hear someone like Donald Trump Jr. saying that the only reason he does is because he's a Biden and because of his last name and how just wildly comical that is? I mean, does it?
It is wildly comical. Is that, that's putting it lightly, I think. But you know,
can we pause it there for a sec? Who are these dopes laughing at that? Who are these absolute lemmings who are sitting there going, ah, Hunter, it's so funny.
It's the Hollywood lefty crowd that still believes in that stuff.
Jared, it's...
Oh, it's atrocious.
It's atrocious. Those people should be ashamed of themselves for laughing at that. First of all, he didn't say anything funny. Jimmy Kimmel hasn't said anything funny in like at least a decade. And neither of them said a joke. And those people are like,
hey, when that laugh sign goes on, you're part of the audience. You got to perform, too.
As one of my favorite guests, Jennifer
Hollywood
Oliver O'Connell once said, what are you smoking and why aren't you sharing? Because I want to be that happy watching Hunter Biden talk about his book with Jimmy Kimmel. Do you know I actually went to Jimmy Kimmel one time to see it? So we had this trip at Providence where we got to go see Jimmy Kimmel. And like that was the whole basis of the trip to LA was we were going to see Jimmy Kimmel. And we're all so excited. And we got there and the guy who arranged it actually didn't get us tickets. Like he didn't make the final call. So we had to watch it from the green room. So basically we watched it on TV, on like a smaller TV than I normally would watch it on. And I remember being so bummed out. I was like, oh, because, you know, Margot Robbie was there. I wanted to see a real celebrity in person. And now I look back, I go, you're okay. You know, you didn't get to see Jimmy Kimmel. That's not the worst thing. So let's play another one. Is there more to that cut? All right, let's finish that cut off.
I think, but you know, what I've learned is this, is that I don't spend too much time thinking about
it. I do. I think about it all the time. Yeah. I'll think about it for you.
Well, maybe that's why, because I have other people to think about it for me. I have other people to think about it for
me. Do you know Donald Trump Jr.?
No.
You've never met him?
No, not that I know of.
Not that I know of. There's not. What does he know? What does he remember?
He knows what a smoked Parmesan tastes like.
That's true. Let's play cut 19.
You say you don't know, which is hard to believe unless you read the book.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, I'm surprised you have shoes on.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I made it today. Pants were the problem.
Yeah. Can I just say that our country, I know I say this every day, but I really mean it. We are in so much trouble because these are the people that we're lifting up. These are the people that we're celebrating in our society. It's so funny that this guy, who at the time when all this was happening was the son of a vice president, has pictures, you know, smoking drugs or whatever he was doing, half naked in a bathtub, making millions of dollars from Chinese businessmen, accepting massive, I think it was a 3.5, maybe 2.8 carat diamond from a Chinese businessman. Complete conflict of interest. And we're sitting here as a society and talking to him like he's an Oscar winner or something. Like he's a bona fide celebrity. I remember when I was younger, I used to love those late night shows. I used to watch Brad Pitt and all these people, and they tell their stupid stories that you know they made up about some crazy thing that happened to them on the plane. But at least they were famous for something. This guy is literally famous for being a drug addict. And I don't say that. I do not say that to make light of drug addiction. I don't want to get those calls because that really aggravates me when people say a lot of people's kids deal with this. I understand. A lot of families deal with it. I fully understand the scope of how serious it is. But I don't think it's right when someone has a drug addiction to start parading them around and paying them to go on these stupid publicity tours and buying their books and acting like it's something wonderful and making jokes about it. Smoking Parmesan cheese, I mean, it's a good sound cut for us, but I don't think that's something that America's youth should be looking up to. The president's son who smoked Parmesan cheese and doesn't know how to put his pants on in the morning. I don't know. Maybe I'm old. Maybe I'm old school, Jared. Maybe I'm getting too much like, get off my lawn.
There's a little get off my lawn vibe going on, but that's cool.
Yeah, that's just me. And then we have another one that I want to play, but I also want to go through because he keeps promoting this narrative that it's all, the laptop is a red herring. That's one thing he says. But he also likes to say, well, it's all in the book. You know, you can just buy the book. It's all in the book. It's not all in the book. And we're actually going to go through some of the nuggets, some of the kernels of Parmesan cheese that are not included in this book of Hunter Biden's. And I think that some of the stuff he left out, shockingly, is very interesting, very important. We'll do that on the other side. I'll open up the phone lines if you guys want to talk. I couldn't get over this. I can't get over the fact that people are having him on their show and that audiences think this is so funny. Like, we're all getting so played as Americans. This guy got away with everything, and now he's on a book tour. It's not enough that he got away with it. They have to take your face and stick it right in the mud and rub it in. He got away with it, and he's making more money now. Disgusting. Guys, allergy season is here, and that means one thing. Jared Diglio gets super sniffly and cranky, and he gets really puffy eyes. But Jared, you have a new secret weapon.
Yes, I do. It is called the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. And as far as allergy medications, they're great, but the Thunderstorm works for me because it actually cleans the air around you.
Yeah.
So you're breathing clean air. You're not just covering up symptoms. I use it daily at my place. I use it here, and no sniffling, no sneezing, no coughing. It's the best.
And it's great if you use it after you cook, if you just want to clear the air of that smell, whether you cook steaks or chicken or anything like that. But also, this week, my friends at Eden Pure are offering a free UVC portable light that you can carry around easily in your purse or pocket. These sold out really fast when Howie had them as a cheap bastard deal, so we wanted to offer them one more time. This is a $79 savings, and it is only while supplies last. That's the key. So here's what I want you guys to do to get your Thunderstorm today with the free portable UVC light. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word Grace Deal. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, code word Grace Deal. With the Eden Pure Thunderstorm and their UVC light, your air will be clean and your surfaces will be clean too. We'll be back on the other side. I don't know if this is a good tease, but we have more obnoxious Hunter Biden sound. That's either going to make people hang on or it's going to make people shut off their radio. We will see. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
The main lesson that we've learned is that tolerance is the one essential ingredient of any happy marriage. It may not be quite so important when things are going well, but it is absolutely vital when things get difficult. And you can take it from me that the Queen has the quality of tolerance and abundance.
She does. If you watch The Crown, you know that. But I think that he was a really, really tough guy. And I have to imagine to be in that role for as long as he was, it's got to be hard. You know, you're not the king, never going to be the king, but you always got to play second fiddle to the queen. And she's wonderful. Everybody knows I love the queen, but you got to be a strong guy to do that because a lot of guys' egos would get in the way. And I think sometimes his would when he was younger, but he figured it out. If you guys missed that, Prince Philip has passed away, sadly, but he lived a very long life, 99. And a lot of people would be very happy to live to 99 years old. Okay, so let's get back here to Hunter Biden. First, speaking of, it plays into our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. I'm holding it up for the camera. From the MAGA Dark Roast, that's my absolute favorite, to their Drain the Swamp Medium Roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. To order today, go to doyoucovfefe.com. Everybody loves the packaging and the coffee smells and tastes amazing. If you are a coffee fanatic, this is what you need to try. It is so yummy. And you don't want to support, Howie had a really good point. It's like a lot of these coffee places, they're woke liberal corporations. You want to support a nice conservative business. So go to doyoucovfefe.com. It's C-O-V-F-E-F-E. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who's the worst late night host? Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, or Trevor Noah?
All right, so this is really hard because I want to say least funny is Trevor Noah because his commercials come up sometimes when I'm watching The Office on Comedy Central and they're not even... They don't even qualify as trying to be funny. They're so painful. Jimmy Kimmel also makes me cringe. And Stephen Colbert, I also can't stand. And they both have a propensity for crying on air, which you guys know is something that I cannot stomach that. Okay? If I don't cry on the air, I'm a 28-year-old emotional woman, then I don't want the men crying on the air. Maybe that's sexist. Maybe that's not PC, but that's how I feel. Jimmy Kimmel cried about Cecil the Lion way back when. Stephen Colbert cried because Trump wouldn't concede the election. He won.
That's like licking the frosting right off the spatula. Today was the first full day.
All right, we need to address this right now. How dare you on a Friday with my VIPs here, you play that sound?
That's like licking the frosting right off the spatula.
Oh, Jared. No, I'm going to say Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel polling at 21%.
Really?
Trevor Noah is in the lead at 42. Second place goes to Stephen Colbert at 33. Seth Meyers polling at 4% and 0% for Jimmy Fallon, who apparently people seem to like.
Well, I don't
he
know.
He is the least obnoxiously woke of that crowd.
Out of that crowd, he is the least obnoxiously woke. I will give you that. But I also have to say, I mean, between Jimmy Fallon and who was the other one? Oh, Seth Meyers. It's like a tree falling in the forest. If nobody's watching the program, how annoying can they be? You know, if Hunter Biden goes on Jimmy Kimmel, at some point it's going to come across my feed, unfortunately. Let's play the red herring cut, Jared. I want to kind of break this down. He's talking about the laptop because we are going to get more information from Hunter talking to Jimmy Kimmel than we are from any sort of federal investigation. So this is cut 20.
That's like licking the frosting right off the...
Sorry.
You did that on purpose.
No, you know, look, I really don't know. And the fact of the matter is it's a red herring. It is absolutely red herring. But I am absolutely, I think, within my rights to question anything that comes from the desk of Rudy Giuliani. And so I don't know is the answer.
For someone who has naked pictures all over the Daily Mail, where he has drug paraphernalia, he's a very smug guy. He's got no lack of ego on him. He's just like Joe. No problem putting other people down. Is he really in a position to be casting judgment on Rudy Giuliani? The laptop is a red herring. So the laptop is a distraction. It's definitely distracting if you've seen any of the content. I give him that. This guy really has no shame. And the entire thing is pathetic. We'll be back on the other side. We're going to be talking about Joe's gun speech yesterday. Very strange, kind of nonsensical. We'll break it all down. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Most people don't know it. You walk into a store and you buy a gun, you have a background check. But you go to a gun show, you can buy whatever you want, and no background check.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. That was President Biden yesterday. He's talking a lot about executive controls to fight gun crime, the gun crime epidemic in the USA. And there are some topics that I like to bring people on for because I'm not an expert in them. I have a lot of questions myself. And I thought there's no one better than Breitbart News' Second Amendment columnist, A.W.R. Hawkins. A.W.R., thank you so much for joining the show today.
Oh, Grace, great to be with you.
All right, A.W.R., the first thing I want to talk about is that clip we just played. How incorrect is that cut? I mean, I know it was brought up to Jen Psaki yesterday, but Biden is saying you can go to a gun show and buy a gun just like that. No background check required.
Right. Well, you know, you go to a gun show now. It's not really like a gun show used to be. You know, it is legal to privately sell a gun in America. That's in certain states. But when you go to a gun show, by and large, everyone selling a gun there now is an FFL. And an FFL has to run that gun sale through a background check, whether the sale is occurring in a brick and mortar gun store, a gun show, a parking lot. I don't care where it is. That FFL is bound by law to perform a background check to call it into the FBI before selling a gun. So it's just a bunch of noise that Biden is making. And, we've done a piece at Breitbart. I did it in 2015 and I rehashed it today to get it in front of people. But, the crime lab at the University of Chicago did a study on criminals in Cook County jail system and gun shows. They're like, hey, where did you get your gun? I think they had one person said gun show, maybe two. I mean, criminals get their guns from places where they know they can't be traced. And that's usually in a street somewhere in the most inner part of the city. That's where they're getting their firearms. They're not going to gun shows. They're not going to all the places the Democrats say.
Now, AWR, the reason I really enjoyed your piece, and if anyone wants to check it out at Breitbart, it's Joe Biden issues executive controls to fight gun crime epidemic in USA. You break down some of these initiatives that Biden put forward yesterday. And I want to talk, the first one I want to talk about is ghost guns. Can you explain to people what those are and what Joe Biden wants to do about it?
Right. Well, and a ghost gun is probably going to end up being whatever the Democrats want it to be as time changes. But for right now, it is a gun that you build via parts and a kit. You know, you'll buy what they call an 80% receiver, and that means you have a frame of a gun that is 80% finished. You have to have the machinery and the know-how to finish that gun. But then once you finish it, you can add parts and build a gun. I think Biden said people can do that in 30 minutes. I don't know where he's getting that. See, Biden reads about stuff and then talks about it. He doesn't really do it. He's like that person that tells you all these pointers on shooting, and when he's done talking, you can tell, well, this guy's never shot a gun. And that's the kind of thing you get on Biden when he talks about this. So what's going to happen with ghost guns that are dangerous is if he can require a background check for parts kits, that they'll claim these kits are being used to build guns. Pretty soon, all your listeners who own Glocks, it's very popular right now to buy a slide for your Glock or buy a new trigger for your Glock if you want to change the trigger weight and such. You're going to have to do a background check to do those things. That's what this will turn into. So it's very insidious. It's very dangerous.
Now, that's a part of this because you talk about Joe Biden, you know, reading things and not really understanding them. I don't own a gun and I read a lot about them. And there's a lot of times where I go, well, that doesn't sound bad. And then I don't understand the real ramifications of these ideas that are being put forward. And one example of that is the recategorization of AR-15 pistols. Can you explain to people the road that can lead down? Because it sounds pretty standard. And then when you read about it, it's a little bit more complicated.
Well, sure. Well, I think we have to start at it backward and come here. What he wants to do is put AR-15 pistols, or AR pistols, excuse me, with stabilizer braces. He wants to put those under the auspices of the National Firearms Act. That was put in place in 1934 to govern the sale of machine guns. So, like, if I want to buy a machine gun right now, I have to follow NFA, National Firearm Act, protocol. I have to be photographed, fingerprinted. I have to pay the federal government a $200 through a very in-depth background check. I have to register the firearm with the ATF.
AWR, I'm sorry to stop you right there. We lost you for a second. You have to pay a $200 fine?
Right.
Or tax?
You have to pay your $200 tax. You have to register the firearm with the ATF. That whole process takes 9 to 10 months. That's what he wants to do for people who own AR pistols. AR pistol is not a machine gun, Grace. It fires one round every time you pull the trigger, just like any semi-automatic handgun. What he's trying to do is say, well, because it has a brace, it's different. Well, see, the truth is, because it has a brace, there are benefits and there are negatives. Because it has a brace, it's not as concealable. See, a Glock handgun is far more concealable than an AR pistol just from the start. Then if you add a rear stock to it, which is what that brace looks like, if you add that to it, then the AR pistol is even less concealable. So what he's doing here, he's trying to jump on this demagogue AR pistols, because once they can add those to National Firearms Act protocols, it's going to be quite easy to then go, wait. That regular AR-15 looks a lot like that AR pistol. I think we need to put that under the NFA too. And what this means is everyone who owns one of those guns, and there are roughly 20 million owners of, there are roughly 20 million AR and AK style rifles in our country, privately owned. Every owner would have to pay $200 for every one of them they own. They'd have to be fingerprinted, photographed. They'd have to register their firearm with the ATF. They'd have to pay that federal tax I mentioned. They'd have to go through a whole new background check. This is as insidious as it gets.
I'm speaking with Breitbart News' Second Amendment columnist, A.W.R. Hawkins. Now, let's talk a little bit about these red flag laws, because for people my age, that seems to be whenever gun violence happens, which I think we can all agree is terrible, people tend to say, oh, well, we need more background checks. We need more red flag laws. Why would you ever be opposed to this? You know, like, why don't you want to keep people safe? Now, what is your problem with his push for red flag laws?
Right. I'm going to say something here that I say a lot. This is an overarching thing, but people have to remember gun control is not a suitable substitute for freedom. So always keep that in mind, because freedom is risky. Whether we're talking about language, speech, I should say, expression, religion, freedom is risky. But I can't diminish freedom because it's risky, because that goes against the whole idea of freedom. That's how it works. So I say that to say this. When one person, we have 434 million guns privately owned in America, 434 million. Now, when one person who owns one of those 434 million commits a crime, and the left responds to that by saying, okay, let's put something in place so we can take guns away from people if they're in danger, then I already know they're after something bigger than stopping that one person who owns one of 434 million guns. And that's the case with the red flag law. And, you know, Biden said pointedly that red flag laws stop mass shooters before they carry out their acts. He said that in the Rose Garden. And the whole time he's talking, I'm looking at him, you know, on the computer screen going, why doesn't this guy tell anybody that Colorado has a red flag law?
Right.
They adopted it January 1, 2020, and it didn't do jack squat to stop the March 22nd Boulder shooter from killing 10 people. Why didn't he tell red flag law? They adopted after Parkland. It didn't do anything to stop the Sebring, Florida bank shooter who killed 5 people just months after the Parkland High School shooting. I could go on and on. I'd bore you to death. I could tell you so many failures of the red flag law. So that's another problem. They don't accomplish the promised end. So really, the only thing you can see that a red flag law will do is it gives the government a way that when they want to, if you even if you're not a criminal, let's say they don't agree with your ideology, you might have been one of those crazy people that voted for Trump. Well, they just come to your house, take your guns, just for a little while. We're just going to take them for a little while. Once you open the door to that, it's over.
Well, that's what's so funny. I'm speaking with AWR Hawkins from Breitbart. Excellent pieces on their website that you guys should all check out. But it's funny, AWR, because there's a lot of things that that I'm passionate about that I think I have all the answers to, and gun control and guns in general is not one of them. So I always kind of open it up to my listeners. And yesterday I had one woman call in and she said, you know, a lot of these people who commit these mass shootings, they are dealing with mental health problems, and her son was schizophrenic. And she said, I know that because I watch him and you know, I take care of him, that he's okay. But if he were alone, he might do something dangerous. And so I'm listening to this woman. I go, that's a great point. I think mental health is a huge part of this. And then the next guy calls up and he kind of made a similar point to the one you're making, where he said, Grace, what's stopping someone, though, down this slippery slope of saying, well, you voted for Trump and you're a conservative, I think you're mentally ill, you shouldn't own a gun. And that kind of made me go, well, that makes sense too. I understand why people want this to stop right where it is.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, as you were talking, you know, the individual, I think you said a mother has a son who has schizophrenia, but she keeps a check on it. Well, that's an exception, and that's great. That's how it should be. But by and large, in Democrat-run cities, they turn people loose who have mental illness, who ought not be roaming around the street. They turn them loose. You see them on your street corners when you're driving. If you're in a big city, you see them. You see them talking to themselves. You see them doing all kinds of things. And so what these Democrat policies do is they put people out in society who ought not be in society. It's not just mental illness. I'm not going to pick on them. It's also criminals. Criminals who don't rise to the level that Democrats want to put them in jail. They just let them run free, and they continue to commit petty crime day after day after day, and then every now and then they'll commit a big crime. Well, see, instead of going for gun control, why don't we go for getting people out of society who pose a danger to society? And that doesn't mean that people with mental illness ought to be put in prison. I'm not making that argument. But it means, look, let's get them off the street, get them somewhere where they get treatment. And while they're getting treatment, there's not a danger there. And mentally ill people rarely pose a danger anyway. Usually they're a danger to themselves. But we do the same thing with criminals. We let criminals in, and because of open border policies, we let would-be terrorists move and breathe in and out of society with us. And all they have to do is decide when they're going to attack, and they can attack. And instead of handling that, that's the problem. It's an open borders problem. It's a lack of law enforcement problem. Instead of being honest, the left will go, okay, well, guns are too readily accessible. We need to lock them up. We need to take them away. That's not a solution.
Right.
Because criminal minds will still commit crime.
AWR Hawkins from Breitbart, thank you so much for joining the show. One last question for you. Do you have faith that the GOP is going to oppose all of these measures? And what do you think is going to happen? Do you think Republicans are going to stand up and fight this?
I don't think the legislation has a prayer. I believe, though, Biden knows that. That's the scary part. He's trying to shift. Instead of a legislative approach, he wants a regulatory approach. Let three-letter federal agencies do it if Congress won't do it. And that's going to open up all kinds of lawsuits. The Second Amendment Foundation is already ready to sue. And I'm sure the NRA and others will get in there, too. So it's going to be a big fight. But I don't believe Congress will act. I do believe these federal agencies will do whatever he asks them to do.
AWR Hawkins, thank you so much for joining the show, sir. We hope to have you on again soon.
Thank you. Great to be with you, Grace.
Everyone, make sure you check out his pieces at Breitbart. He's great. He knows all about, you know, guns and gun control and all these rules. Because it is true, sometimes you hear the left say it, and if you're not an expert, you go, well, that doesn't sound bad to me. But you don't understand where this stuff can lead to, and it's important that we all do. All right, everyone. Now, I got something to tell you guys, and I think you're going to like this. Since I was in my early 20s, I don't know if you know this, but I tend to drink a lot of Coca-Cola, a lot of coffee. I eat a lot of ice cream, some chocolate. Basically, anything that if you Googled it, it would come up and say, acid reflux trigger, you're going to get heartburn. But I like what I like, and I don't want to change that. I don't want to not eat the delicious foods that I like. So my whole life, I've been trying to figure out
how to deal with acid reflux and how to fix it. And there are some things that help, but they're not long-term fixes. That was until I found Balance 7. It's my one-stop shopping to help increase my energy levels, aid in digestion, heartburn, and acid reflux. Check out Balance7.com and learn why balancing your body is so important for the performance of your immune system. Simply drink a total of 3 ounces a day, and within 72 hours, most people begin to have more energy, greater clarity of thought, which I think right now, especially, we could all use that, and just feel healthier overall. Order your 1 month supply at Balance7.com. Use code word GRACEFREE to save $10 and get free shipping. But also, if you're one of the first 50 to purchase Balance 7 and receive, you will receive Smooth Skin, an exfoliant and deep cleansing skin conditioner valued at $13.99, but you will get it for free if you're one of the first 50 to order. Whether you struggle with acid reflux or heartburn, this is the product for you. You have to try Balance 7. Order now, receive $10 off a 30-day supply, free shipping, and a chance to receive Smooth Skin Conditioner at no charge. I think if you order right now, you will receive Smooth Skin Conditioner. I can't promise that, but I'm pretty sure you will. All by using code word GRACEFREE. That's code word GRACEFREE. We will open the phone lines. I know this is a popular topic, and I want to hear what you guys think. 844-500-4242. If you agree with AWR, call in. If you disagree, you have a different point to make, we're always open to that. We'll be back on the other side with more of this Friday show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show.
Was I wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
X go give it to you. Wait for you to get it on your own. X go deliver to you.
Very sad news. DMX has passed away today. Our thoughts and prayers are with his whole family. Also, Prince Philip died today. Now, I just did interview AWR Hawkins from Breitbart about this, you know, new push from Joe Biden for gun control, if that's really what you want to call it. The more you look into it, it's a little bit different. Butch, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Butch.
Yes, I was just listening to the gentleman talking about the permit process for your M16 and your automatic weapons.
Yeah.
And the part of that permit process that I didn't like was that you had to submit a diagram with your permit showing in your house where you kept that firearm, and the feds can actually come in and check that anytime they want.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I looked into getting that, you know, that permit, and that was the part that, you know, that turned me off to it, because obviously I don't want the feds in my house.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. That's interesting. There's a lot of this stuff that, you know, the Democrats managed to gloss over that you're not going to hear about if you're just going based off Joe Biden talking about gun shows. I mean, I think AWR Hawkins gave him a little bit more credit than I would. He said, I think he reads a lot about this and doesn't actually do it. I don't know how much he reads about this either. I'm getting the sense that he just watched, you know, Butch Cassidy once in his life and goes based off that. Thank you for the call, Butch. I appreciate it. Please keep listening. Also wanted to give a special shout out to WNTK and WUVR who joined us this week. We love having you guys and everyone who's listening, supporting, reading my stuff, and just loving Jared's producer's picks and all the different segments. We so appreciate it. On the other side, I want to talk a little bit about this vaccine passport. I want to go over some of the sound we have today. And I want to get your take. The way I feel about the vaccine passport, and we have a great guest who's going to explain her take on it, why everyone should be hating on it, why everyone should be adamantly against it. I feel as though we have been told again and again, just one more thing, and then you'll get your freedoms back. And I don't believe it anymore. I don't believe it, so I'm less accustomed to go along to get along. We'll be back on the other side, guys. I hope everyone's having a great Friday. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.